You're going to have to give us your login details.
I genuinely, it's not that I don't trust you, but I need to remember because it's...
Can you draw them off your device?
No, but can I tap them in?
100%.
Update password. Okay, I'm in.
He's in. We're in.
Incredible. Oh, look at this. I honestly feel like I'm standing at the summit of your life right now, looking down.
I should have checked and deleted stuff, actually. It's probably all my books.
Oh, Dom, this is going to be amazing.
Oh, no, I'm worried.
This is going to be amazing. So much shit.
Really?
Oh,
okay.
What's wrong with you?
This is My Mate Bought a Toaster, the podcast that dives into people's Amazon purchase history with all the hope and enthusiasm of a pig snuffling for truffles in an Asda car park.
Is this your intro?
Yeah, so I've pre-written that, yeah. Joining me today, what did you think? I wrote it quite early this morning.
I just didn't realise. I thought you were on a phone call.
Are there many pigs in Asda car parks?
And who are you?
Don't pursue it. Don't pursue the metaphor.
Truffles.
And wait there one second.
I am so posh.
Joining me today, as ever, she's got her scene of crime kit on, ready to go over the evidence. It's the Amazon archaeologist, Samantha Baines. Hello, Samantha Baines.
Hello.
And we've also got, what's his name? Dom Jolly.
Well, my favourite was when I was met at a Cambodian airport with a man holding a sign up saying Dim Jelly. So, and I have had someone ring me up, ask me if I was Bum Jolly, which many would agree.
I mean,
take your pick. But even worse is when people go, is that your real name? And I go, yeah. I decided to become a comedian. I thought I'm going to call myself Mr. Jolly because Mr. Tickle was fucking taken. It is my real name.
You're lumbered with it for life. So it is your real name. And we've used that to log in to your Amazon account. And
you haven't actually, because my Amazon account, as you'll find straight away, is in another name so I can write glowing reviews of my own products. But I won't tell you. But I won't tell you.
Exactly, what's the name?
But I won't tell you what the name is.
Right, okay.
But so you will.
If
you see any good reviews of my stuff, that's me.
Dim Jolly is a huge fan of Dom Jolly.
And Bum Jolly.
So we're going to go right back then to... Now, the first year that we've got...
What do you mean go back?
We're going to start from the beginning.
Can you go back? I genuinely have not looked at
if you go into... This is what people don't realise. If you go into your Amazon account...
It's got your whole...
Go into your orders. Yeah. You can go back to when you first started.
So when did I join it? When did Amazon start?
I don't know when Amazon started. What, in the 90s? Late 90s, I think it started.
I would have been an early adopter because I'm pretty hip.
Of course you are.
So
I can
when
see
did
that
it
right
start?
Now. So I think it started in about 98, 99. That's off the top of my head.
When did I start?
So Amazon was founded on the 5th of July, 1994.
All right. 94. So when did I start? 95? 94 and a half?
Yeah, more or less. 2002.
Oh. That's a bit of a surprise. I thought I was pretty hip, but obviously not.
Well, maybe you did the first few years as Dom Jolly on your account.
Ah, that's what would have happened. Then I got famous, so I changed my name because I had to write reviews of myself once they started going downhill.
There you go. You see, I'm also buying all your own products as well, but we'll get on to that. Have you really?
Well, for a reason, but
okay, all right, we'll find out about
that. Also, I should say Amazon started in the UK in 1998.
Are you like the statistician on...
She's my Richard Osman,
Yeah,
that's what she does. She does it very well as well.
All right.
Everything she
said... I'm just as sexy as Richard Osman.
You've both got very good radio voices. I feel I'm on some
slightly
cheesy but fun breakfast show.
I mean, you do know that work... That's exactly what I do for my other job. I work on Magic Radio.
And I work for the BBC.
That's literally where I was.
There you go. All right, so listen, in 2002, that's when you made your first orders. But weirdly...
Has it got my first order ever?
Yeah, but I can't see it. 15 orders were placed in 2002. Are you getting this as well, Sam? Because Sam is also logged into your account on her computer.
What do you cannot mean? See them.
What? You know why? Is that because of the child pornography
No.
Scandal?
Is that what it is?
It's probably, if you order your own products, if it's 15 of them, that normally means I'm either sending, because I have a Canadian wife, so whenever a product of mine comes out, whether it's a DVD or a book, I kind of have a block buy where I send it to all my Canadian relatives so that they know I do something. So it's possible.
Hang on. Is that not a bit narcissistic? Do they only hear from you when you've got a new product?
Well, no. I'm there every summer. But the problem is, can you imagine marrying me anyway? But if you do, and my wife trying to explain to the Canadian relatives, what do you do? He goes, well, he shouts into a big cellular phone. It's like, what? So I kind of got really paranoid because they just thought I was a bum, basically. So every time, especially when I wrote a book, you know, like I'd send them a book to go, see, look, I'm a writer.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I do force feed them. None of them have ever seen or read them.
So maybe that was in 2002 and it's just been blanked from Amazon's history. We're going to have to skip into 2003 then.
Right.
And see what you bought.
Here we go. What I bought.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, there's some good stuff. There's a lot of Clash in December.
What do you mean, Clash?
Look at this, Sam. On the 24th of December 2003, you shopped your tits off Dom Joly.
Sorry, 24th of December.
Yeah.
So this is panic. This is panic Christmas buying.
This is amazing.
Before Amazon Prime.
You got Richard Hawley. Oh, I love Richard Hawley.
Oh, I love Richard Hawley.
Brilliant. The Clash, obviously, The Clash.
Oh, I did buy The Clash.
And Kelly Osbourne, explain.
Yeah.
Okay. I can explain this, actually, because I think about that time, that would have been when I was making World Shut Your Mouth, and I was trying to source a whole lot of music for it. And actually, Kelly Osbourne did quite a good cover of Changes with her dad, of the song Changes. Yeah. And I think I bought that, because I've certainly never bought any Ozzy Osbourne, and I've certainly no interest in Kelly Osbourne. Oh. So that would have been the only link.
That's what you bought.
You bought Just Changes. Yeah. Changes the single.
Nothing else. Yeah.
So, but this is quite a serious question now, Don, because you, as a maker of comedy, all things telly, music is very important to you, isn't it? It's hugely important.
It's massively important, because if you strip away my massively good music taste, you're left with really quite a shallow hidden camera show. But you whack on some deeply moving Mercury Rev or some Baby Bird, and suddenly you have people weeping over Grown Squirrels beating each other, thinking, why?
You love that one Kelly Osbourne song. Some people don't agree.
Oh, no, what they said.
One star, Ronster 500.
Oh,
the multi-talentless Kelly Osbourne, after having seen her album Bomb, has decided to relaunch it with some extra tracks. But she's decided to abuse one of her father's old songs.
There you go. And there's the point. And I think most people slag it off, because I have to be honest, I'd never heard the original Changes.
It's not the David Bowie version, is it? Because I was thinking of Change.
No, this one, and if I may sing it. We're going through changes. It's a great song. But I'd never heard his original one. And so she covered it, and he did it as a kind of, fuck, she's going to go on heroin if I don't make her thing go well. Uh-huh. Came to it new. So it's like my kids.
That's quite an arguing counter to go to your parents and say, I'm going to take heroin.
Well, I would. It's like my kids, you know, when Leona Lewis covered Snow Patrol, and they call it the Leona Lewis song. And I'm like, it's fucking Snow Patrol. Mm. Even the fact I'm defending Snow Patrol is not cool, but there you are.
So. I don't know if you want to come to October 2004 with me, Sam Bain.
Oh, 16th
of October. Okay, can I just say,
go on.
Career-wise, this is quite interesting, because to see how my purchases go with the career, this is about the time I just got... So after Trigger Happy and massive success on Channel 4, I got a 3-series deal at the Beeb, which I absolutely tanked.
Which one was that then?
Well, I did 2 series of a thing called This Is Dom Joly, which everyone, I thought, wouldn't it be funny to make a chat show that was so straight that I wanted 80% of the people to think, I get it, he's taking the piss. Actually call it Dom Joly, not even This Is Jom Dolly. And 20% to think this is a car crash. Actually, I think 99% of people, because they'd see me in every shot in Trigger Happy, and just thought, this guy's a massive cunt. And it was me. I put glasses on. So I just thought, it's really obvious it's not me.
So what you did, you left Channel 4, put some glasses on, and went to the BBC.
Yeah, and did what every wanker does when they go to the BBC for the series, is you have a chat show, like Johnny Vaughan, although I won't mention his name. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I'll satirise that. But I obviously didn't satirise it enough, because I got pages in the Mirror going, is this the worst chat show ever? Because I asked Eamon Holmes questions like, what time do you get up? And do you use an alarm clock? It was like, it was so obvious that it was a piss take.
I love it.
But they didn't. And I even had a VT section where it was showed me trying to sell my house to people. And when they agreed, I'd add a 10% celebrity premium.
Nice.
So it was obvious that it was crap.
This needs to come back. I feel it was a great show.
Anyway,
so
about to be kicked out the BBC at this stage. So
all right, well,
I'm panicking.
You are panicking. You're also doing some. You're doing some panic buying, because you bought a copy of Look at Me, Look at Me by Dom
Joly.
That's
my own book.
And then the day after that, you bought a copy of Look at Me, Look at Me by Dom Joly. Later on that day, you bought Look at Me, Look at Me by Dom Joly.
Well, I've explained this earlier. This would have been the first. That's my first book. So this would have been the first case of me desperately trying to explain to my Canadian family, because they're like, they were quite impressed when I worked for the BBC. Like when I was doing the big mobile thing, Channel 4, doesn't mean anything to them. But then Stacey, my wife, said, oh, he's at the BBC, and Canadians are comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And then Stacey started to hint that we might not be able to get to Canada that summer because Dom's having problems with the BBC. And my book came out, so I thought, great, I'll send them the book. But it was a spoof autobiography. I was paid really a staggering amount of money for it, thinking they were going to get a real one. And about 10 minutes in, I thought, fuck this. And so the whole thing was spoof. And
just take the piss every time,
No, it was a terrible move. And it disintegrated and it didn't sell anything.
Well, it sold 4.
I think I bought more than that.
Sam, we've had this before on this podcast. John Holmes came on and we looked at the reviews of his book, because he bought his own book.
Yeah.
So in that tradition,
who doesn't buy their own book?
Of course. Sam.
3.5 stars overall.
All right. Look at me.
Yeah.
That's That's generous because it's my worst book by a long way.
Should we go one star first or five star first?
You've got to do one or the other. I think we should go...
One star. Let's go bad news first.
One star first.
Yeah, because this will be me again.
Yeah.
Kath Chamberlain.
Oh,
she's
Kath, just because I fucking dumped you at uni, yeah?
Yes, it's less funny than someone doing that phone gag.
Nice, because that's all I ever did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, famous his first TV series was funny, but everything else has been dull.
Well, I hadn't done anything else.
Also, she's just said you're funny.
No, but she's... Also, she's quite right, because at that stage, things were going badly, yeah?
Right, okay.
Shame I expressed the opinion on the first, or I may not have got this as a gift.
Oh.
She got it as a gift.
Who did?
She's just more... This woman, she's more annoyed that this was her gift, really, than
you know
your book.
Even funnier, who gave her the gift? Hello.
There he is. Right? Does she live in Canada, by any chance?
No, I started... Honestly, this is true. When Trigger Happy DVDs were out, I used to do a thing called Shop Putting, and I used to walk around Tesco's and I'd grab like a rack of Trigger Happy DVDs and I'd drop them into people's trolleys.
Yes.
So I think that helped.
Right. Okay, so that's the one star review, which to be honest it seems
quite nice.
She's giving the person who bought her that as a gift one star, less the book one star. Let's go for the five star. Come on, we have to finish things nicely.
We're in a nice show, Dom.
It's a nice show.
Delta Hotel reviewed it. Did you leave one at a hotel?
I already made up.
That's my radio name.
Oh, is it?
This is Delta Hotel. No, I didn't write this one.
Oh. So this is... Dom Jolly is one of the funniest, most clever comedians in the world, is
one
the title.
Of
Look at Me is a fantastically funny journey through the surreal life of the very talented, unique, comedical entity that is Dom Jolly.
Keep talking.
When reading it on the train, I couldn't stop laughing out loud, constantly from cover to cover.
Thanks,
people
Mom.
Looked at me like I was slightly mad, but I just didn't care. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
From his talking dog to being an EU cultural attaché in Prague to 50-foot chickens, Dom Jolly has expertly written his autobiography.
I really haven't.
And I cannot recommend it highly enough. Buy it today. It will be one of the most entertaining and unputdownable books you will ever buy.
If you're
genius.
A fucking idiot. Now, do you know what? I'd like to thank Delta Hotels and for all the stays I've had with them. I've written my own fake reviews to books, and even I would not have.
What do you write? When you write a fake review, then what do you say?
Well, I wouldn't have pushed it to that extent.
That's too much. That has to be real.
It's too much. Yeah. So I would say things like, I'd always put in a little warning, like, you know, not brilliant, but, you know, like, I'd make it believable.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
No, loads of people saying the funniest book I've ever read. Yeah. Brilliant.
Can you recognise Dom's handwriting
book?
On those reviews?
No, I could tell you that. I didn't even bother with that one because genuinely, I got paid a stunning amount of money for it and I didn't bother and I hated that book. So
really?
I wouldn't buy it. It was rubbish.
Someone's also done a 5-star review and titled it "PP in My Bed."
Oh,
that I swear to God, I was actually physically sick.
That was me.
All right, so let's go to October 2004, and you can
this
tell
is
things
quite stressful
career-wise. Things are on the slide because you bought Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for the PlayStation 2.
This, you know what? You're
second
bang
studenthood
on.
Coming.
This
up.
Is honestly like moments after. So I did two series of This Is Dom Jolly.
Mm.
It absolutely tanked. And then I panicked and thought, fuck, I've got to stay. So I gave them another hidden camera show called World Shut Your Mouth, which was basically an excuse for me to travel around the world. And we did a road trip all the way across America and used 4 seconds. This is absolutely no true of footage from it.
What?
I was so taking the piss at that stage. And I did a great beginning.
Hang on. You went across America with the whole crew. How many people?
Three of us.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
A lot of cost, a lot of expense, and you used...
No cast, because it's hidden camera.
4 seconds.
Yeah, and then even better, I had an idea for the beginning of every show, and it would be me in front of one of the wonders of the world. So, for instance, it started, the first show, in front of me in the Taj Mahal at dawn. We were there, and I'm standing in front of the Taj Mahal, and a real woman wanders in, and the moment she wanders in, I go, the Taj Mahal. And she goes, yeah. It's kind of ethereal. And then there's a long pause and I go, that is shit. and that's all I did. And I thought, this is how far up my own arse was. I thought, I can't... Like, normally, if you're an indie, you think, well, we're here. We might as well film some other stuff. I thought, no, this is only funny if that's all we filmed. So we did Great Wall of China, Grand Canyon. Where did we go? Great Wall of China. Yeah, the pyramids. We did, I mean, literally.
What, and every time?
Every time. That's
all
I did.
Filmed.
That's all I did. And when the Daily Mail came to review the show, they said... and it's my claim to fame, possibly the greatest waste ever of the license fee. But I still stand by how good that was.
Yeah. That's such a good quote.
But also, it was a proper joke. Yeah. I mean, it made me laugh, but unfortunately...
The problem is, right, if you weren't posh, people would call you a punk comic. That's the thing, isn't it? Because that's a punky thing
to
do. They
call me a lot worse. Yeah, but yeah. I'm quite punky. Punks are posh. Yeah, come on, you can only be a punk if you went to art school and you had the time to not be in the mines. I mean,
posh
come on.
Punks, yes. Yeah. Anyway, we began this tangent with
Chris Morris. Come on.
Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Yeah. Why did you buy it? Did you complete it?
Okay, so here we go. So having done World Shape Math, which is still, by the way, in case you haven't seen it, my favourite show and my best show of all time, but it went out on BBC One, so it was completely the wrong time.
Yeah, BBC One, tiny channel. No one's going to see that.
No, but it's the wrong people. It really was. Yeah, I got hurled out the BBC. And I got hurled out the BBC so badly that I was at a, you know, I had my pass, I came in, and one day my pass didn't work.
Oh my God.
And they wouldn't let me in.
That's full Partridge.
And this is no joke. Oh. This is no joke. I had to get in on a BBC tour. I went in with the public and then I got all my stuff in those boxes that you never see apart from when a bank's closing down. And I went down and in between Bruce Forsyth and Jonathan Ross's car, I opened the boot of my car and put it in and drove out.
And that was the end,
that was the end of show business. Yeah. So I bought some video games and I disappeared into what I call the online wasteland years.
How long did those years go on for?
I think about 4 years. I would just sit in the Cotswolds and I'd earned enough money and I just played a lot of Call of Duty and a lot of Grand Theft Auto. It was amazing.
Wow.
And
I developed a second studenthood then.
Yeah, and I developed a character. So when I went online, I'd be... I'm really bad on accents. Anyone seen my comedy work does. So I kind of, even when I'm doing the Dutch, which is my best, I'll drift through a continent and end up in Yugoslavia. But I can do kind of like a guy called Big Bad Billy Bob. So I would go online as a guy called Big Bad Billy Bob. This is before Trump. And I would just be, I'd be a man. I'd say, I'm telling you right now, I'm playing this naked in my trailer. There's so much methane in the trailer now that someone lit a match. It would just go. And then I'd have a go at Brits playing. And it was fucking brilliant. I go, you from Scotland? Do you guys still paint your ass blue and just fucking waddle around? And I just take abuse. It was
needling people.
Yeah, I really like a fight. It's terrible.
Twitter must have been a joy for you.
Twitter
when that
was
came
terrible
on.
For me because I drunk tweet. See, so and it's been a source of terrible things for me.
So who knew all this? I'm sorry, I don't know much about video game playing. Well, so did you have a little headset and you would talk to people?
So I'm hitting in the headset, and at any stage, I'm playing seven other people around the world, and I'm playing essentially. I'm playing a violent video game, and I was in this old house in the Cotswolds that I'd got, and the place where I played it was like an L-shaped house, and the room where the only place my wife would let me play was this oldest part of the house, and it had a window onto the street in the village, and I didn't realize I didn't come out for 3 years. I just played this game, and people just like we'd move down, and they'd heard Dom Jolly's moved into the village, and then they'd walk the dog past and they'd just hear me going, well, listen here, asshole, I'm going to fuck you up. And when I met them all, like later, when I came back into IRL, into real life, like they thought that I was either running some sort of commando training school.
Can I just say, I found something absolutely amazing here, Sam, because in life, imitating art, imitating life in the most perfect way, you've gone into this weird post-massive success on TV, hilarious world, and then guess what happens? In 2006...
Is it how bad things happen to bad people?
No, you then buy... Curb Your Enthusiasm Series 1, Curb Your Enthusiasm Series 2, Curb Your Enthusiasm Series 3, 4, and you go crazy. And Curb Your Enthusiasm, this is exactly what you're like.
So hold on, so where's the year here?
So this is 2006 now.
Okay, so 2006, I'm really angry because I'm thinking, okay, I've had a long run of success and then 2 years just in the room playing video games thinking, surely the phone's going to ring, someone's going to go, okay, you've paid your penance, you can come back. Mm. And I suddenly realize, fuck, it's gone. And it's the biggest problem in my career. What I'm good at, if I'm good at anything, is riffing. Like, and we use that terrible word, improv. Now, improv in England means you end up on Whose Line Is It Anyway, pretending you're stuck in a lift with John Sessions. It's a nightmare. In America, improv starts all that stuff, and it goes to things like Spinal Tap, Parks and Rec, Curb Your Enthusiasm. So when I saw Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'm like, how the fuck am I not on that? Like, I could kill. And I was offered all these roles. Like, I was offered a big role in... 22 Days Later with Danny Boyle. Mm. And I was like, is there a script? And he went, I just can't learn scripts. And I'm not interested in learning scripts because what I'm good at is making my own stuff up. And when I saw Curb Enthusiasm, it not only made me laugh more than anything else, but it also made me really angry and made me weep a little because I was like, fuck, that's what I should be doing.
Okay, but this is in 2006.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is two years after the implosion.
Yeah, but this is 13 years ago. Have you done that yet?
What?
Made the British Curb Your Enthusiasm, because you'd be perfect for that.
You did spend £52 on it.
Very weirdly. If you'd have asked me that a month ago, I'd have got very depressed and slumped.
Okay.
But good. I just went to the Cheltenham Festival and I bumped into Daisy Cooper.
Yes.
From This Life, from This Country. And I'm a massive fan of This Country. And also it's filmed near me.
Yeah, of course.
And we got on like a house on fire and I finally realised I'd met someone else who did, and actually more success than me because she's got a BAFTA, did what I did. And she was like, the comedy establishment hates me. They are all snobby. They don't get what we do. And I'm like, oh my God, you're talking my language. And she's got an amazing idea for a film. And so we, I think, are going to do that.
Oh, wow.
So, yes.
Amazing. And we just got an exclusive. We just got heard that first in this podcast. Yeah. Oh, my God. Tell
the
story,
first time I mentioned it. Because actually, we only met very drunkenly and then we've been WhatsApping. So it might not happen. But
yeah, but she's brilliant. She is absolutely brilliant.
But also, more than she's brilliant, she's fucking smart. Yeah. And I'm stupid. I believed her. I didn't think she was. And she's amazing.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm glad I didn't ask a question that made you all depressed.
Oh, there'll be plenty.
All right. So that's 2006. So this narrative of Dom Jolly's life after all the massive TV success.
Honestly, that's fucking therapy.
Wow. Yeah, I'm loving this.
I know.
Hi guys, Shangela Sepafemia here, telling you to please listen to the Brian and Roger podcast. Now, I don't know who's written it, but whoever it is probably a genius. So I think you should give it a listen because it's such great stuff.
I'm going to go for 2008 now, all right? Let's have a jump on 2008.
And 2008, I'm happy now because I'm starting to write books.
But also, you look at
proper
this.
Proper books.
Look at this, you've got a Wee Fit.
November. Obviously, after 4 or 5 years on the internet, the weight's starting to pile on as well, and I'm having the Alex James nervous breakdown year now. Okay. You know, I've got the big beard.
You're going to start making cheese.
No, I haven't made cheese. Do you know, I gave Alex James the name, this is another claim to fame. I met Alex because we both wrote for The Independent, and he'd just written the autobiography, which was basically a story of the band and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's good, you know, because he's a proper rock and roller and stuff. And I said, have you got a name for it yet? And he goes, no. And I go, bit of a blur. And he goes, did he thank me? No. But I gave him that. And I was so chuffed for that.
It's such a great title.
It's great, isn't it?
Did he never thank you for that?
Never thank me, little
cunt. Alex James?
Yeah.
Absolute cunt.
What's that about?
Your cheese is shit as well, mate.
It is shit. Yeah. He doesn't make it either.
No,
he doesn't. He's got a farmer makes it in his farm. But that's fine, you know. And I went to his house, and it was kind of going to the cliched rock and roll house. There was the quad bike, there was the, I make cheese. And he goes, do you want to look around? So we wandered around, and we went into one barn, and there was just this massive sheep dead with lambs nuzzling on the dead mother. And he goes, that shouldn't be there.
It was amazing. You go around Alex James off of Blur's house and see all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then in Dom Jolly's house, what have we got? A 50 meter Xbox 360 Ethernet cable. 50 meters of Ethernet cable. How bad is your Wi-Fi signal?
Well, no, at that stage, I'd got into fitness. And so I thought, if I could play Xbox and be in the gym at the same time.
You are a genius.
Then life could change.
Oh, my God. And did you do that?
Did life change.
And because of the weight gain, I had built a small gym at the end of my L-shaped Cotswold house that we've already described.
Mm.
And so I thought, I'm not going to the gym, but if the Xbox was in the gym, I might. And so I went into the gym and then ended up just playing Call of Duty on a sofa that I installed in the gym. So it was self-defeating. But that was the reason for that,
So the idea was, it was good intentions.
It was good intentions.
Of course, of course. Mind you, if it was a long walk to the gym, that's a bit of exercise.
It was
right
a 46-metre walk, hence the 50-metre cable.
You spent 25 quid on cables so you could play the Xbox
elsewhere. Well, I'm the cable guy, then, Emius. Yeah.
That is brilliant.
People really love that 50-metre cable.
Oh, it's one of the best cables. If you're going to go for a 50-metre cable... That is the best one. If you're going to lay a cable that size...
There you go. You're solving a big problem.
7% five-star reviews.
Yeah.
Sam says, would recommend. Did the job, no complaints.
Yeah. And I actually spoke...
Still there to this day?
I spoke to Sam before. I've moved houses, but I'm sure it's still there, yeah. I swapped the... I don't know if you know, but when you move to the Cotswolds, you have to... every village has a celeb. And you know, this is absolutely true. And you do sort of you hand it over. So I took over, and this is absolutely true. I moved into Anne Robinson's house in the village I was in then called Quennington.
Wow.
And this was Anne Robinson just before The Weakest Link.
Right.
So she got quids in.
She did quite well at that.
Yeah. And she bought herself an Enormo dome. It's completely true. So I moved into Anne Robinson's house and took over as the village celeb.
It's like
there.
The ladder of celebrity.
Oh, totally. I had
one person moves up one rung. You come and join the
rung. What makes me laugh is you think I'm joking, but I'm not. In the next village we had, at the time was Liz Hurley. Mm. And then in Eastleach we had Kate Winslet. And so it was getting quite big. And so they actually set up a tour of the Cotswold stars' homes, like the LA one.
Oh my
And
God.
It started really big, Liz Hurley, Kate Winslet, and then it ended with me and Annika Rice. And we were like chuck shit at them. It was amazing. And then I had to move from where I was then because I was near Cirencester. And I don't want to show off, but I pretty much ran that town. For 3-4 years, I did the Christmas lights and everything. And then one morning, I went in, and there'd been a coup. And this is absolutely true. And the windows were just full of startled shopkeepers shaking Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen's hand, or LLB, as he liked to be known. Ladies
hate
Bowen.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was literally chased out of town. And that's actually, this is a great story, but it's actually true.
The pecking order of the Cotswolds is fascinating.
So I had to fucking get out of that shit. So now I live in what I call the buffer zone, just above Cheltenham, in between Stroudland, which is Lily Allen land, and the Flatlands, which is Jeremy Clarkson land. So I have a sort of buffer zone.
It's like Game of Thrones, and you're the wall.
No, no, it's insane. I've actually drawn a map, which I'm trying to sell at the moment.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. Anyway. Let's go to 2009 now, Dom Jolly.
Wow. Oh, I'm happy there because I've just written The Dark Tourist, which is my first travel book. And I went on holiday to North Korea, weekended in Chernobyl, skiing in Iran. So I'm really happy. I thought, you know what? Fuck this comedy shit. If they're not going to, like, respect me, then I'm going to go on holiday to weird places, and that's what I did. Because that's all I wanted to be when I grew up.
I can tell that you're a travel writer. I can tell that you're writing a book as well, because you bought Max Speech Dictate.
Right! That's fucking right! I remember that, and I thought, because what happens is, when I go writing, I write all my stuff down on notes on an iPhone, like when I'm travelling, and then when I come back, I send it to myself. Yeah. And I sent myself a whole lot of stuff and it didn't arrive. So I had these notes and I couldn't move them from anywhere. And I thought, fuck, I've got to type them, like thousands of words from North Korea. And then I'd heard about this thing called Map Dictate. I thought, this is great. I'll just read it and it'll appear on my Word and then I can go for it. And
amazing.
It lasted about a day. I was just like, so North Korea, dungogi, nothing. It was terrible. And it cost me a fortune.
You spent, here we go.
How much? 200 quid or something?
£159.
On
that kit. Yeah. So that's in 2009.
Do you know how
before
shit
Alexa,
I am?
Isn't it?
I didn't even claim tax. I'm so shit. Because I could definitely claim. No, because I'm rubbish at that.
Oh, that's legit. All this
I know,
is legit.
But I'm shit at that. Just if you're listening, tax man, I'm fucking shit. I was the only person to be audited. And they said I should spend more money. This is absolutely true because I'm so disorganized.
So you did do the book about travelling. It's called The Dark Tourist.
I know I did. I
29th of December, 2010. £8.49. You bought yourself a copy. Congratulations. No, and also,
I didn't buy myself a copy. I bought my Canadian relatives a copy.
I call bullshit.
Why?
Kindle edition.
Oh, that's true. No, that's true.
Here we go.
I did do that. And I tell you why. Because Kindle had just come out then.
Yeah.
And so I was asked. And actually, I was given a credit to buy that.
Hello, Amazon.
Yeah. Speaking. I was given a credits by that because we had to test how it looked because we were putting photographs in it. So fuck you. However, the next 30 cop downloads. But yeah, that's true.
So you really found happiness when you started doing the travel thing. That sorted you out.
Well, it didn't sort me out because I was happy anyway. I mean, I've had a fucking brilliant life. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Well, it's not over. It's not over.
No.
Right?
But even the 3 years of PlayStation, I fucking loved it. I had loads of cash, great kids, nice wife. It was all good.
Yeah.
But I just kind of have a creative. You know, if I was just someone who just could make the cash and fuck off to an island, that'd be great. But I really like, you know, the sound of my own voice, as you know. So, when I grew up, all I wanted to be, because I grew up in Lebanon, and I looked at, like, people I really admired, and they were either diplomats, and I know they're cunts, because I was a diplomat in Prague in 1990, and foreign correspondents. And I kind of wanted to be a foreign correspondent, but I'm a bit too chicken to be a foreign correspondent. So
yeah,
I literally
dangerous.
Did... one step back. So foreign correspondents are people that write about people fighting. Mm-hmm. And I'd read all foreign correspondents' books and I was obsessed with like the Khmer Rouge and the hotels they stayed in Cambodia and Chernobyl. So I would go and write about the people that were writing about the actual fighting. That's how far back I was.
Yeah.
But I did grow up in a war. So
way back from the front line.
Oh, well, I grew up in a
Lebanon.
Yeah, I grew up in Beirut. So I've killed a couple of people. No, I haven't. But, you know, like, I've seen action. No, I haven't. I've been shelled. Yes, I have. So they've been shelled. Yeah, of course they've been shelled. Who hasn't been shelled?
I can tell you grew up in a war zone because you did the really good Khmer on Khmer Rouge then. I just said Khmer Rouge.
Well, I was kind of obsessed with camp media because in 75, 76, which was when the Lebanese Civil War was at its height, and I was living the world's most schizophrenic existence because I was, in the holidays, I'd be in the basement of our house above Beirut being shelled. And then I'd go back to Oxford to the Dragon School, which where I was at school with most of Radiohead and Tim Henman. So it was kind of, it made... What did you do in your school in the holidays? Good. But it was a very schizophrenic existence. And all I knew is we'd listen to the World Service. Mm. And that's where you'd find out who was shelling you. That was the irony. Wow. Like, you'd know from London who was shelling you. And the only other people vying for the headlines at the time was Cambodia, because the Khmer Rouge were going, the Phnom Penh was going on. And so I was always thought, I wonder, because Lebanon's a fucking amazing place to be.
Yeah.
And yet everyone thought it was a shithole. And I thought, I wonder if Cambodia's that good. So that's why I was really interested in going to Cambodia.
It also puts you in a really unique position because you can genuinely tell us what is worse, war or Radiohead.
Radiohead, I think, a long way. Okay. Yeah. And I'll tell you why, actually, and I have a good theory on this. Radiohead suffer from the worst crisis of British music, which is middle-class guilt, like art school guilt. So they make an amazing album, the first one, Pablo mm-hmm. Honey.
Yes.
OK Computer, I didn't really like. I thought it was a bit Pink Floyd-y, a bit proggy.
Loved it.
But the point is, they do very well. And then what do? You go, oh, we've become... In fact, I did it a little bit.
It's like
we've become a bit popular.
Let's put glasses on.
Let's make something totally fucking unlistenable to and alienate everyone. Whereas Coldplay, that everyone hates, but I like, you know what? We're fucking good at this.
We're going to keep doing it. Yeah,
but occasionally waffle on about fair trade. So, you know. But I bullied Tom York at school. So I feel...
Oh my God, you're responsible.
I feel that's where a lot of his stuff, his deep stuff came from.
So you're as important to British music as the guy who dumped Adele.
Yes. And unfortunately, I didn't punch Tim Henman, which could have helped British tennis as well. So, I mean, there are things I did, things I didn't do. I couldn't do everything.
This is incredible. What a lot.
What a life.
Fascinating.
Yeah, if any of it was true, it'd be amazing.
Oh, no, the whole thing's a lie. All right, so let's skip on ahead a bit now, okay? We're going to go into 2015.
Oh, a bit too serious for you guys.
Contemporary jolly, okay? What about this, right, Sam? Have you seen this? Sorry, there's so much stuff.
How are you looking
so
at the
good.
Same thing?
Keep Calm and Love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that. So... More importantly, I found that someone sent it
so
to me.
Good.
Someone sent it to me and said, "Oh my God, how desperate are you? Are you doing merch?" And I was so angry. I was like, "Who the fuck is selling this merch?"
Yeah.
And then I realised it's just an algorithm.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I didn't realise that.
No.
So when you're looking at you,
your fame,
yeah,
your fame.
It wasn't me. So yeah, I completely fell for that. But I do have that on my fridge.
£4 you spent on that.
Yes, I'm.
And just above.
And you know
that.
What was happened? Didn't make me calm. It's really angered me.
Getting cross. Yeah, just above that. What? Go on.
The Zorro mask.
You bought three?
Three Zorro black men's masquerade masks.
Oh, this is brilliant, actually. Okay, this must be 2015, 16?
October 15.
Yeah. So, this is great. So this is, I've just set up my production company, and the production company is called Shady Cabal. And Shady Cabal is named because just at Trigger Happy time, we did some spin-offs, and I set up a fake magazine and we spent £2,000 putting a whole page review in various magazines for a magazine called Self Magazine, which was all about Will Self. Every article was about Will Self. And then we had a whole opening where fucking people came, and in the end, it was a terrible... We pulled the thing out and it said, if you want a magazine, write it yourself. It was terrible. And I even interviewed Will Self about the magazine. But The Guardian wrote a red... we put a thing in Modern Review and they were like, no one knows who the Shady Cabal is behind this. So I thought about this for ages. So I called my company Shady Cabal.
Brilliant.
So when we set up Shady Cabal, I thought, I think we were drunk. I said, wouldn't it be cool if like we were like a sort of shit terrorist group? So every time we do interviews or we have meetings even, we all wear Zorro masks. Yeah. So the first couple of like Instagram shots of like new company set up, we're all cool. We're all wearing Zorro masks. And I think one of our wives saw it and just went, you know, you look like complete cunt. Yeah. And so we stopped.
And?
But you notice I went for quite high-end
superior quality Italian made.
$12.99
Because we kept sending a runner out to get Zorro masks and they'd tear and stuff. I was like, no. We want quality Zorro masks.
It's really annoying when runners tear. That was really irritating. They do that. Sam, any reviews of
this
the Zorro
masks? This is the worst interview I've ever done.
No, it's not.
No, but in that it's really revealing how shit
I'm
my life is.
Finding out so much about you. Yeah, it's great. Brilliant.
Someone said four
Someone
stars,
this
good
into
quality.
A that was me, probably.
So much other stuff going on in 2015. I'm sorry,
really?
There's just so much stuff. Dom.
Really,
it's
is it good or bad? But you're looking at some...
Churchill, a biography, Roy Jenkins. I've read that's lovely.
Oh,
lovely.
Okay,
what page you on?
Yeah, no big deal.
What page?
Diana, a closely guarded secret. That sounds a bit. What's that about then?
No, I'm up for that. I kind of, I'm slightly obsessed with those people, especially the royal hangers-on, who kind of veil their make-money-quit books in a sort of, you know what, in a way, it's a bit like when that guy, Alastair Stewart, does those terrible, he's just showing clips of cars crashing.
Yes.
He has to do the little bits in between where he goes, remember, if you're absolutely ripped to the tits on heroin, don't get in a car. And it's kind of, this book was sort of by her. He was called Ken Wharf, I think. Is that right? Is that the same one?
Yes.
I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And Ken Wharf was her protege. He hints heavily that she was very sexually attracted to him.
Ugh.
And it's more. It's just.
So why do you read that then?
Because I kind of love hypocrisy, and I think I then insulted him on Twitter for a year. So I needed.
Worthwhile then.
Yeah, very much.
At least you used it well.
I'm not one of those trolls who just. The whole stuff without having done the research.
It's good faith trolling, right? It's well informed trolling.
I call it troll wrestling.
Go on.
Yeah.
Page three.
Are you looking at the bottom?
No, in the middle.
He's got his cricket kit because he's a sort of complete Cotswold cliche.
Can I just say that's not for me though? That's for my boy.
All right, I'll take it back.
But I'm not Cotswold cliche.
I was just going to say because the pants are extra large.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, those were mine then. What are they, pants or?
It's a box, isn't it? It's a box holder.
No, it's a jockstrap.
No, cricket brief with pouch, extra large.
Yeah.
But I've got a better story than that, obviously. Because having bought the jockstrap, I am a massive cricket head. I got, and you guys won't get this because obviously you're already showing your snobbery towards cricket, but fuck it.
Go on.
I played in the Test Match Special 60th anniversary match, which for me is a big deal. My dad had just died. And I'm like, finally, I've done something that he would have been proud of. We go up to Leeds ground. And I'm fucking literally. They got the cameras, and they got Blofeld. They got Blofeld commentating. And when I come off after having hit quite a good little innings,
what did you get? How did you get?
Doesn't matter.
Go on. How did you get?
62. And
that is good.
Jeff Boycott goes, "Well batted, lad." And I'm just like, I'm literally in a. When I got there, Graham Swan was the captain of my team, and I didn't. You know, I'm so disorganized. I hadn't brought my extra large briefs, and I said, "Oh, I don't have a jockstrap." So Graham Swan gave me his.
Wow.
I still have them to this day.
Do you?
Wow.
So that's
Did you sniff them?
Well, I did, but it was mine. So
okay.
It was kind of.
It's quite comforting smelling
it.
Yeah.
But I'm not a sort of. I like sport a lot, but I'm not a sort of stato sport type guy. Like I love cricket, but I don't know. But that was an exciting moment.
All right, let's do this. Come on, let's get to 2019 now, because otherwise we're never going to finish this podcast.
Yeah, because I've got to go soon.
He has actually.
I've got to go to the Groucho and do things.
Yeah, sure. Here's a good one. Here's a good one. Order placed 16th of February 2019, which is very much the recent past. And this is a great order for a grown man. Haribo Halal Gold Bears. Do you need to get halal in the Cotswolds?
This is funny. Okay, so again, this is quite interesting because I don't check. And this is my kid is now a flexi boarder. At boarding school, and so he keeps saying he's quite good because he kind of knows that he could order anything and I wouldn't check, but he's a good kid. So he says things, but he doesn't tell me what he orders. He goes, "Dad, there's a couple of things I need for school. Is it all right for order?"
Yeah,
I'm assuming this is what you might might call a care box.
He's gone for Lynn. He said,
"As long as it's healthy." So that is he healthy?
You've got some sweets. Yeah, Kinder chocolate,
Milky Way Magic Stars, two Mauam
vegetables
sharing bags.
Any vegetables?
Haribo Halal.
Seriously.
Oil paint set.
Oh, that's nice. Ooh, okay, shall I tell you what that is?
You gone?
I got that on Prime, I think, because that was a last. I realised it was my wife's birthday, and she's a painter and sculptress. No big deal. And I got those last minute.
Oh, nice. That's very romantic.
It's great.
Last minute pack. Yeah. That's how people
and also
for them.
50% off.
So, really?
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah.
Don't tell her. No. I'm still going in the what your son bought.
It is incredible, isn't it? The Laurent Perrier.
Yeah, that's him.
Apple Tizer, Capri Sun,
more
Haribo, Wine Gums,
keep it classy,
Rolos,
Jackson.
Mars,
Aero.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got a lot of sugar.
Was this one delivery?
Why did you not know about this? £23.96.
Fucking hell, right, Jackson, if you're listening.
It's all sugar.
Is it really? You are gated, son.
All right, Dom, that feels like on this bombshell. Yes. On that bombshell, Dom Jolly has gated his child.
Shock, really.
Dom, I genuinely think you're brilliant.
I've
enjoyed this so much.
No, I'm genuinely brilliant. No one else does.
I think you need to...
I think you're mediocre. I think you're brilliant too.
You're much more on the money.
I think you need to tell the world. I've always been a fan and this has just cemented all that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I know everyone feels really sorry for me being on this, but I'm coming back. I've got lots in the pipeline, so it's all going to back.
It's a very busy man. Yeah.
Are you laying cables as we speak?
I'm laying massive 50-metre cables to my gym.
Can I come with you? Thanks very much. Dom Jolly, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to Dom Jolly. So that is the end of my Maybot Toaster. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Give us a rate and a review and all that business. And me and Samantha Baines will be back next time. I think we're going to do these every week. We've got some brilliant episodes coming up. Carrie Ad Lloyd, John Holmes, Pete Donaldson, amongst many others. Hope you enjoyed it. And give us a follow on Twitter as well, please, at ToasterPod. That's all your toaster admin you've got to do. And if you've got any good ones as well, go back and have a look through your Amazon purchase history. If you have got any good ones, we'd love to hear them. Just drop us a tweet at ToasterPod. And you'll see at the moment we've got about 8 followers, so you can be a very early adopter of this new podcast. Thanks very much. See you soon. GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont, and this is Crime Club, the podcast where I talk to people who have done terrible, terrible things, either immoral or illegal, ideally both. Oh,
fucking hell, mate.
That's Crime Club.
Oi. Oi. Oi.
It's fucking Crime Club.
GreatBigOwl.com.